we participate in baptism together. So I want to begin our time of baptism this morning by just briefly describing baptism and talk about its significance and what the scriptures talk about, because maybe some of us here, we've heard about it, but we don't really know what baptism is all about. So I want to just begin there by taking a few moments and discussing that with you. The act of ceremonial washing or baptism has a long history. The Jews practiced repentance and baptism, particularly whenever a pagan or a non-Jewish person converted to Judaism, they would go through the experience of baptism. When John the Baptist is introduced in the Gospels, he comes on the scene proclaiming a baptism of repentance for all people. This baptism points out that all must come to God through the same means. No one can earn the kingdom of God by being born into it, which was a common Jewish idea of Jesus' day. No one can earn a place in God's kingdom by, quote, being a good person, end quote. There's no amount of deeds that anyone alive or dead, for that matter, could ever do to earn a place in God's kingdom. The way of salvation is the same for all people, believing and trusting in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The act of baptism is an outward sign of an inward heart transformation that takes place through faith. The brethren in Christ historically hold to what we call believer's baptism. This means that baptism is a choice that we willingly enter into. A person desires to submit their life to Jesus Christ, and baptism is the public display of that declaration. This cannot be forced upon another person. It cannot be a choice that someone makes on behalf of another person. We believe that this is a choice that can only be made by the one who has encountered Jesus Christ and subsequently desires to follow after Him all the days of their lives. Throughout the New Testament, there is a connection between believing in Jesus and baptism. For example, I just have a scripture as an example on the screen, Acts 18, verse 8, which tells us, Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. So that's just one place of among many that we see this connection between believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and subsequent baptism. Baptism also acts as bookends to the ministry of Jesus Christ. For example, in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 3, we see Jesus coming onto the scene where John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River, and Jesus comes and is baptized by John at the beginning of his earthly ministry. And subsequently, at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, passage we know as the Great Commission, Jesus tells his followers to go out into all the world and baptize. What is the significance of baptism? On one hand, it signifies our death with Jesus Christ, which Scripture uses language that talks about our being dead to sin, being dead to self, and being dead to the world and the ways of the world. And that is signified, I don't know if you can see, we do have a tub of water up here. And in a little while, we will take the candidates and we will submerge them under the water. And that is symbolic of this death. As Scripture says, all who believe in Christ have died with Christ. So for these baptismal candidates, the going under the water is telling all of us as witnesses that they have died with Jesus. And subsequently, we have been made alive with Jesus Christ. Scripture talks about being raised to new life, being new creations. Talks about the resurrection, which happens in us now, but we await its full consummation at the second coming of Jesus. Scripture talks about having hope and a future. And when we rise up out of the water, that signifies the person rising to new life in Jesus Christ. So baptism signifies death in Jesus and new life in Jesus. Paul talks about it this way in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 14, and I have it on the screen for you. Paul says, "We were therefore buried with Him." The Him is Jesus. "We were buried with Jesus through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For we have been united with Him. If we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." Baptism is not magic. The water here before us today, it's not mystical in any way. This is an outward sign, an outward demonstration to all of us who stand today as witnesses of what has already transpired inwardly in the heart of those who will be baptized among us today, thus making their confession of faith through this action of baptism. This young woman and young man who will be before us in a moment, they have already submitted their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And now they want to declare that publicly to us as witnesses. As a man named Donald Schaefer explains it, and I think I may have this on the screen for you. When a person becomes a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord, then that person is beginning a whole new life. Becoming a disciple of Christ is both a personal experience and a corporate commitment. Therefore, the celebration of such a significant event and its meaning for life is important. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, You are the one who has made covenant with Your people, and Your covenant is firm. You are the one whose promises are always to be trusted, because You are trustworthy. God, we call upon You on behalf of this young woman and young man who will be baptized before us and into us here this morning. Coming to their baptism, we pray that through this act, this would be a clear witness that they have received Your inner washing through faith in the cleansing blood of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that these young people will forever rejoice in the forgiveness of sins, and that they would receive fully the indwelling of Your Holy Spirit, that they would embrace the fellowship of Your church and the full assurance of resurrection to the glory in to Your glory in the world to come. Father, we ask this in the strong and precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In some ways, baptism was seen as an initiation specifically to a life of discipleship, which is a life of following after Jesus, a life of obedience to Him, learning to walk as He walked and talk as He talked and live as He lived, showing Him to the world, being His hands and feet. So baptism is not only a sign of one's inner renewal, it is also an initiation into this life of discipleship. We are no longer slaves to sin, as Paul says, but we are children of God who have entered into a new land, a new kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. The old is gone, the new has come. This new reality that has come to be is both present in our inner being, where we are one with Christ, but it is also visibly seen by God's power bursting forth from the inside out. Like the budding of a flower or the progressive growing of a newly planted seed, the gospel in us propels us into a new way of life. It is a life that we follow wholeheartedly into the footsteps of Jesus. It is a life that testifies to the power of God found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptism is our proclamation, a public announcement that says, I am not who I once was. I have been transformed and I am being transformed through Jesus Christ. It tells the world that I have chosen to follow Jesus wherever He may go, wherever He may lead. Essentially, we say that my life is not my own any longer. I am bought by the sacrifice of another. Scripture talks about how Jesus has purchased people from all over the world through His blood. We no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to God because He purchased us with the blood of His Son, Jesus. Baptism is our initiation into a life of service to the King. It is entry into the community of faith, the church, a community that pledges to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So today we acknowledge and celebrate with each one of these candidates this morning that they too are becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. They are embracing that. They are testifying to the power of God and committing their lives to His service in front of us and with us. But let us not forget that this day of baptism is not only significant for this young woman and young man who will come before us in a moment, but this is significant for us as the body of believers as well, into which they are becoming part of the community through this action of baptism. Friends, family, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and if you have submitted to Him as Lord, today you also stand before this young man and young woman as their mentors, walking arm in arm with them, embracing this call to a life of discipleship alongside of them. We are fellow sojourners with them. And they will be looking to you. They will be looking to us for that guidance. Looking to us to show the way. So in a sense, today is also a reaffirmation for all of us. God has given us the practice of baptism so that we may not forget that every single one of us are called to share in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were all dead in sin, and through the gift of Jesus Christ, we are all raised to new life. We stand together as one body. Without Christ, admitting that we are lost, that we are without hope, but in Christ, we stand together as a redeemed people. Or as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. So let us together as the community of faith see our own baptism as the beginning of a lifelong journey of discipleship. Some are at the beginning, others are in the middle, and yet some find themselves closer to the finish line. But wherever you are along this journey, let us together live a life worthy of the Lord. Or as the Apostle Paul likes to say, let us commit to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, and continuing to grow in Christ's likeness. So would you stand with me as the community of faith? Stand with me. And let us reaffirm today the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Let us proclaim it together unashamedly, as the Apostle Paul did when he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. As a congregational affirmation of our unity and calling as disciples of Jesus Christ, let us together recite that ancient creed referred to as the Apostles' Creed. Let's recite this together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son and Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, where He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, it's going to be a little bit different this morning. We have a couple videos to show you before we get to the live baptisms. What happened this year was with the scheduled date, we had a couple families that were scheduled to be out of town. And so over the previous 2 weeks, there were two other baptisms that took place, and we have those on video for you, and we want to share those together, and we still, even though they're not with us bodily, we still want to celebrate with them. So we have two videos. The videos are of Abby Stoner and Eric Robison. So let's enjoy these videos and celebrate together.
Take me deeper than my knees could ever wander, and my faith will make me stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Come up, they're all going to be clapping. Okay? Sound good? Abby, do you believe that God, the Creator of the universe, and your Creator, loves you so much that you are sending His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for you, and He was buried and raised again, and it's because of that death that your spirit, the things you think, A and B, that don't please God, have been forgiven because of what Jesus did for you? Upon that confession of faith, that I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah! Hey, where's my towel?
Thanks for coming out, guys.
Scott Robison, here's my testimony. My life before Christ, I was a young kid and never really understood the true meaning of going to church and worshiping God. At this time, I was always forced to go to church and never really wanted to go, and it wasn't until about a few years ago where I started actually understanding everything about our religion and became more interested in going to church and learning about God. And my moment I met Christ, I truly started to follow God, and I felt great and could really feel His love. And every time I try to reach God, wherever it's at, wherever I'm at, church, or my home, or wherever I may be, I can always feel His loving presence around me. And my life after Christ, I'm happier than ever. I cherish every day I have here on earth, and I'm very thankful for everything God has given me. He has blessed me with everything I could possibly need, and so much more. I'm going to continue to follow God the rest of my life because I know in my heart that He is the true light of this world.
So, Eric, I have a few questions for you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Do you have the assurance that your sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Do you renounce Satan and his works?
I do.
Do you renounce the ungodliness of this world and all sinful desires?
Yes.
Will you live in obedience to Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Will you actively participate in the life and ministry of His church?
I will.
Do you accept the Old and New Testament as the authority for your life?
I do.
Will you, by this act of baptism, testify to the world that you are a follower of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Eric, Scott, Robinson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Rise to your new life in Christ.
Amen.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Hey.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Nice. I like that.
All right. It's good stuff, right? And Enid, Eric's mom, is here today. And she was there that day at the pool along with Rita and Stacy and a few others. So there was a witness from our church there that day. But now we want to bring up two special people. So Abram and Jonelle, if you guys would come forward and kind of stand right over here. All right. So these are our baptismal candidates for today. And I have some questions, 8 questions for the two of you. And if they are accurate and you agree with them, respond in the affirmative. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Do you have the assurance that your sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ? Do you renounce Satan and his works? Do you renounce the ungodliness of this world and all sinful desires? Will you live in obedience to Christ? Will you actively participate in the life and ministry of this church family or a church family? Do you accept the Old and New Testaments as the authority for your life? And will you, by this act of baptism, testify to the world that you are indeed followers of Jesus Christ? Amen. All right. So, Abram, you could just have a seat over here for a moment. And we have Jonelle. We're going to start with Jonelle first. And we have her testimony on the screen.
But, you know, I was brought up and raised as a Christian, and I remember going to church and doing things with my family, with, like, the church, but I never really knew the importance or the greatness of being a Christian. So, you know, and I didn't really know much about Christ, because I was just growing up, and I didn't really learn much. But instead of trying to learn about Him, you know, I kind of blew it off, and I just didn't really see any harm in it. So, as I grew up, issues began to, like, arise with my family, and at one point, I felt like everything in my life was going wrong, and I didn't really know what to do to fix it, and I kind of blamed God, in a sense, for everything, and you know, I couldn't really fathom why He'd want any of the bad stuff that was happening in my life to happen. So, I kind of shut Him out, and pushed him even farther away than he already was in my life, and I really struggled with that for a while. But it wasn't until, I think, a year or so ago that I started to understand that I needed God in my life, and I needed to try to make it my own. And I made some really good friends that were really great Christians, and I really do think it was through them that I came to the realization that I needed God, and I needed to do this on my own and stuff. But I do believe that He reached out through my friends to me, and I always noticed how happy they were to have that connection that I lacked with Him, and, you know, that I pushed away for so long. So I realized that I wanted that more than anything at that time, and I kind of pushed all the negative thoughts about that out, and I just worked to have a connection with Him. I prayed when I could. I read my Bible when I could. I read devotions and stuff, and, you know, I tried for a relationship with Him, and, like, you know, I still do for it to be the best it can be. And so now, looking at before, my life before Christ, feeling how I do now, I definitely say that there was a lot of worry, and I kind of felt lonely before having Christ in my life, and now He loved me through everything. Now, it's one of, like, the greatest feelings, and I try and live my life to honor Him and glorify Him.
To show you.
I was born into a Christian family who showed me the love of Christ from a very young age. I knew and believed in God very early in life and never truly questioned Him at that point. But around the start of middle school, I made the transition from childlike acceptance to a growing, curious desire to find out for myself what I truly believed about God. A big part of this was joining a youth group. For an entire year, I learned about His Word, and I began growing in my own faith. Then, suddenly, my life was changed drastically, and my faith was turned upside down in a way. For a year and a half, I felt as if my family was falling apart, and I questioned the strength of my own relationship with God. I began to wonder how the pain God allowed me and others to feel could be a part of His plan. I began to wonder why, if God wanted me and I needed Him, did He seem so distant? Repeatedly, I asked God for a sign that He was with me. A year passed and I was becoming doubtful of my faith. And that's when I read a verse that changed my life. James 1:6 through 7 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect anything from the Lord. And this verse hit me like a ton of bricks. I went to my church's Easter service later that week with a new mindset. I poured out my heart, and that very night I felt the power of God firsthand. He made me realize that He has always been with me, and that what has happened to me was a part of His plan. Yes, I still struggle with sin, and yes, I still have people in my life that can't see Jesus right now. But I have seen God with my own two eyes, and I have seen the impact, His impact on my life. And because of all of this, I can stand in front of the world and say that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior.
You don't know the Cox family. About a year, a little over a year ago, they moved from here to Indianapolis. So they came all the way from Indianapolis to celebrate with us today. Abram had been so impacted by this church growing up that he wanted to celebrate this moment with all of you. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? So thanks for being here. Abram, Xavier Cox, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Rise to your new life in Christ. And we do have stuff down on the floor, so don't worry. And we took the ice cubes out around 8 o'clock this morning. So, all right. Now, what we'd like to do, how we're going to end our time together is we're going to have Janelle just stand over here. And then when Abram gets dried off a little bit, we'll ask him to move over towards that side a little bit. And then first and foremost, we want to invite any family members who want to come forward. We're going to pray over these guys. So any family members want to come up and lay hands on them, and then anybody from the rest of the church body would like to come up and lay hands on them as well. And then we'll just kind of do it in two separate things. This group over here, just pray over Abram, and this group over here, pray over Janelle, and then I will jump on my mic and wrap it all up then in a few moments. So family, come on up, gather around. And then after the family, we want to just open it up to the rest of the church family. Feel free to come on up as well. Gather around and lay hands on. All right. Anybody else want to come?